Okay, good morning. You've heard in previous weeks interviews with Gary or Beano Fraser, Ian Ashton Crichton, I think it is. And today we've got Neil Anderson, or Elt, to his mates. Good morning, Neil. How are you doing?
Morning, Dave. Fine, thank you. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. And you're from London?
I am, yes. Well, originally from Dundee, as with almost all of the rest of the guys. But I moved down to London in the late 70s, as did a number of us. I think there were eight of us, actually.
It seems like Dundee lost all their people in the 70s, 80s, yeah?
Yeah, it was a good place to grow up in, but at that time it wasn't a good place to get a job.
I was going to say, looking back, this was in the Labour Party years. We don't want to talk politics.
No.
I only talk politics when I'm not talking to anybody on the radio, but I do remember it because, the sort of mid-70s were dreadful, weren't they?
They were. Yeah. And Dundee...
And we stole all your oil, didn't we, as well?
That again is a political statement, which
it's pretty much of a fact as well,
I'm still very much of the view that we're one country and we all have to help each other out with it. But I think the Dundee was a very industrial city, going back over the many years before. And the traditional industries of, for instance, shipbuildings, a big shipbuilding area, died out. And the post-war years, there was a bit of decline. And then when the 70s came along, of course, it was hit pretty badly. Mm-hmm. And it was fine for us at school. You know, we didn't really see what the problems were, I guess. But when it came to, you've got to go out and make your own life, you've got to build a career, you've got to think about family, et cetera, et cetera. The opportunities just weren't there. And I think a lot of us decided that we had to go elsewhere. Now, some of our good friends are still in Dundee, stayed in Dundee, lived in Dundee, and have done fine. But a number of us thought we had to try elsewhere. And we seemed to gravitate to London, which was great because we had a bunch of friends and effectively a ready-made social life when we came back here.
And at that time, I suppose we were the first generation that moved away from home.
En masse, possibly, yes. My parents had done so.
Oh, really?
They'd actually moved down, funnily enough, down to London pre-war. Because my father, he's long, he's quite a bit older than most fathers at the time, but he moved down during the recession in the 30s. There was a kind of parallel in a way. He had to leave Dundee at that time, and then I felt I had to leave Dundee, 40 odd years later or something like
that. Yeah, because in England, it was unusual in the 50s, 60s. And sneaking into the 70s, although two of my uncles did move down to Cornwall area, most of them stayed around the Midlands area. So that's where they lived and that's where they worked. But as you say, when there's no work, what's the options?
Yeah, I think it depends very much on the availability in the area you're in. And as I say, Dundee was a very industrial city and the old industries all died out. I mean, now look at it, it's fantastic. It's regenerated itself as a high-tech centre. It's got the V&A in Scotland now. They're opening up the Eden project in Scotland there. I mean, it's really revitalising. But in the late 70s, it was a very, very different story.
And I suppose it being industrial, it's okay if you want to work in that industry or those industries.
It is. But the jobs have to be there as well, and they weren't. I mean, we remember what the mid-70s were like, the three-day week, the blackouts. You had 12 hours a day when you had electricity and heating. I mean, I can still remember sitting around a fire using toasting forks. I don't know if you remember those.
Right? Oh,
you
I
get a bread on the end of a fork and stuck it in front of the fire because there was no electricity. I mean, this was 1970s Britain.
I know, scary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know why out. I can't see any evidence of it now.
It's all gone.
The glasses must have been something else.
Yeah, the reason, again, it's one of those sort of off the cuff remarks. Yes. I was with some friends in Boots, the chemist in Dundee, which in those days they used to sell records. Boots and Woolies were two of the biggest record shops, and certainly as far as top 10, top 50 stuff was concerned. And we were walking up the stairs to the record department, which was on the first floor, and there was this huge poster of Elton John on the wall. And this would have been 70, 71. It was when Your Song came out. It was his first
thing. Yeah.
So there was a big promotion going on, and I just happened to mention, hey, look, he's got the same glasses as I've got. And that was it. Yeah, you know, I'm still stuck with it.
Well, Ian tells me that's where the similarity ends.
Yeah. I mean, my music career bombed pretty quickly.
Wonderful. So, as I said, much has been said about the hike and Bino and Ashton have told me a few things, but tell me about your, well, actually first, tell me about the Beano nickname, because he didn't mention that.
I wondered if you were ever going to ask him that.
Yeah.
Gary worked for DC Thompson, which is the big publishing company in Dundee, which publishes the Beano, the Dandy, all those comics that we read as a kid. He says he used to write jokes for the Beano. I don't know if he did or not. Certainly involved in the publication in some way, and that's why he got the nickname.
Oh wow, God, yeah, they're memories, aren't they?
Yeah.
But anyway, so your memories of Stuart?
Stuart, I didn't know in Dundee. I met him when this crowd of us came down to London, and a lot of the guys were or are accountants. Stuart wasn't, I'm not, but we got together with a company, Michael Page, who was a recruitment company. One of our friends was a director, and we used to get together on a Friday evening in a pub up in Holborn, and then go out in the town together. Michael Page would host a few drinks for us beforehand, because a lot of us had got jobs through them,
and we
all knew one another. So I mean, those were in the early days a good way of getting to know people, and then the friendships came out of it. And I think that's around about the first time I met Stuart. I can't honestly remember exactly when it was, but we were in a group of, at that time, probably about 10 or 12 of us. And we used to do a lot of stuff together. And of course, with he and Ian, who had been at school together in Dundee, they were from the west end of the town. And there were eight of us, I think, approximately in the group, who had all gone to school together in the east end of the town in Broughty Ferry. And of course, coming down to the big city, we all had a lot in common, and the friendships were formed.
There's an issue between United and Dundee.
Yeah, apparently. I kept well out. There's a huge issue between United and Dundee. I mean, I don't know if you know the area at all, but the two football grounds are right next to each other.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I've always found that strange as a non-United or Dundee supporter. I always thought, you know, there's just one from... it's from one city, but of course, in our group, we've got supporters of both.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, it's very tense at times.
Well, I'm going to keep well out of the way when we're climbing up some of those mountains.
Who do you suggest I talk to about that? Which one of the group?
Well, you've got Derek coming up fairly soon. He's one of the few United supporters.
Okay.
And I think all the others that you're interviewing are probably Dundee. Certainly Gary is, Ian is. I'm trying to remember who the others are, but it's Derek's probably the one you have to have a go at.
Okay, noted.
Lindsay's
So how's the training going?
Badly. I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, moving on then.
I had an injury for a while, but my knee was causing me problems, so I couldn't really get out and do any training. And I'd been to a specialist, I'd been to a physio, and they said, you know, if you do this through this program, you'll probably be okay by the time of the walk. And it didn't really seem to be working particularly well for a while. And then something just suddenly happened. We discovered something which helped me get on leaps and bounds. So I started my training much later, I think, than I should have done. Plus, I spend far too much time sitting, working on the website, the social media, and all this stuff for the hike. So I don't get out as much as I wanted to. But I have been up to Scotland once already, about 3 weeks ago, and went out on a few hikes with the guys while I was there. That seemed to go okay. I'm going back up again very shortly to, as Ian mentioned last week, to go to Torridon over in the West Coast to do hopefully 3 days pretty intensive training on that. Then I'm going up again once more before the hike itself. So I'm probably, rather than doing it over the period of time which we should have been doing, I'm the kid who's cramming just before the exam, you know, and hoping that my body will cope with it.
You've got to deal with some serious professional hikers, haven't you, there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. And the guys I'm going with to Torridon, I think, fall into that category. So it's going to be a good test for me. Certainly Gary and Ian do a lot. I will know in a week or so's time just how well or otherwise I'm doing.
We might need a report on that, Neil.
It may not be me. I'm sure there will be one, Dave. The thing that's most concerning at the moment is the weather, actually. That's the
case. Yeah, of course.
It's still pretty rough up there.
Snow?
Yeah. Some of the guys are trying to arrange a hike for tomorrow. I was just listening in on one of the WhatsApp conversations, and they've already had to change where they plan to go because of snow, and the place is still inaccessible.
I hope it's gone by the end of April. We're going up there.
All right, yes.
Yeah.
It should be.
We're going up right up north. Hopefully it's beautifully sunny and we can see all night and the usual beautiful sights you get up there in Scotland.
Yeah, if you're going the end of April, it should certainly be better by then. But,
it'll be cold, isn't it?
It will still be cold. Yeah.
You mentioned the IT thing and the fact that I assume you didn't volunteer to do it, but you were coerced. But can I say, before you answer that, what a wonderful website you've got.
It's terrific.
Really, impressive. It looks good. I don't know anything about websites, but just going onto it, it hits you. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that's what we hoped. It tells the story, or it's meant to tell the story, obviously the story of Stuart. But the other things to try and raise awareness, as some of the other guys have already said, because it's I don't think people know enough about prostate cancer at the moment.
No.
And so we're just doing our bit to try and raise that awareness. But the story of the website, Ian originally suggested it. And I'd said, I really don't think that's what we need to do. You know, we just get the Just Giving page and we direct people to that because we don't want to have anything to do with handling the money or anything. That goes straight to the charity. And then as I thought about it a bit more, I realized that, well, we wouldn't actually know who the people were who were supporting us. and who were making the donations, because you can't, if it's done anonymously through Just Giving, you can't find out.
No.
To be totally honest, I was also a little bit concerned about the amount of work that would be involved in it, and I felt it could be quite a big job in doing it. But anyway, in the end, we took the plunge, and yeah, it's been a big job and it's been a lot of work, but it's been worth it, because we now know we've got over 700 registered supporters on our website who are receiving the newsletters. We keep them up to date with what's happening, with how the training's going. We try and get more and more people to sign up to it, so that they're also learning about prostate cancer and how to self-diagnose, if you like.
Is it a thing that you see as ongoing with the website, and taking on information about it? And while we're talking, I will say this, because I might be in touch with the prostate cancer. I've offered to help via the radios. This is not part of the interview, obviously, but I'd forgotten that. I meant to mention it. So I don't know whether they've been in touch with you or they support that way, but they're very keen to get somebody involved.
Yeah.
Which is really what it's about, isn't it? It's about awareness, as you say.
It is. That's something that we felt the website could help with, because we've had a little bit of celebrity support through Jeff Stelling of Soccer Saturday, who is an ambassador for Prostate Cancer UK. And Prostate Cancer UK is doing a big campaign at the moment to try and find these 14,000 undiagnosed men who missed out on diagnosis during the pandemic. But we just want to try and do our bit, as it were. Will it continue? I don't know. A couple of the guys are planning to go on and do another walk at the end of this year. I think that may have been mentioned. They're going to Everest Base Camp. Now, these are serious hill walkers. They're not like the majority of us. So I'm kind of thinking I'll certainly keep it going while they're doing that, and keep people up to date with how they're getting on, if there's interest. Mm. I mean, if we find that the interest isn't there anymore, which I hope isn't the case, then we will maybe close it out. But we'll certainly keep it going for quite a while afterwards, definitely.
I think it seems to be something that, you know, the longer it goes, the more interest you get. So it would be nice if you could become a source of information as well.
Yeah, and we'd love to do that.
Yeah, brilliant. It was, is it Gary that's doing the base camp or talking about it?
No, that's Ian. And Lindsay,
right? Gary's got to get permission, I think, from the wife.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'd be allowed away, to be honest.
And it's incredible that you're all friends after all these years. I mean, that's the amazing thing,
particularly when you consider where we all are. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned that we'd come down to London. I'm the only one left in London. All the others have scattered to the four corners of the earth.
And Ashton went home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two of the guys have gone back. Ian and Steve went back to Dundee, but the others are all over the place. In fact, one of the guys from school days, although he didn't come down to London, Bobby, he emigrated to Canada just after leaving school, just after college. And I think he's only been back once in the intervening 40 years.
Right.
So this will be the first time that we've all been together. It'll be the first time all of us have been together.
He confused me, because he was in Singapore, wasn't he? Is that right?
And now that's a little bit confusing. Ian wasn't in Singapore. Gordon was the one who was in Singapore. But Gordon... You'll be interviewing him, so I'll let him explain it all. But Gordon lives in Vancouver in Canada.
That's good.
Works in Singapore.
Okay.
So work that one out, yeah.
Well, that's if he carries on the interview after mention Dundee.
That's true.
Yeah, then we'll see what check his temperament out first.
Yeah.
Well, I am amazed by it all. I mean, it's incredible what's going on. And I'm sure Stuart's somewhere looking down and thinking, mugs.
He would be, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, Stuart was originally coming along on the hike.
Yeah.
It was originally just an idea that a group of old boys who had retired or were about to retire, we were going to get together again and do some walking. But I had no idea that the West Highland Way was being thought about at the time. Yeah, I thought we'd do a little bit of hiking in the Angus Glens, which we used to do as kids. And then it suddenly came out that there was this almost 100-mile, six-day hike. But then, of course, it became clear that Stuart couldn't take part in it.
Yeah.
And it all escalated from then. One of the things we haven't mentioned, which I think might be of interest to the listeners, is this aspect of our ages, because we now call it the 1,000 years hike. And the reason for that is because there are only 16 of us doing it, but you add up our ages and it comes to over 1,000 years. And when we discovered that fairly early on, and this goes back to the beginning of the website, because the website is www.band-of-brothers.uk, which is fairly obvious, but it's difficult to compete with HBO and Damian Lewis and Shakespeare.
That's the first site I got up originally,
Exactly. You have to get it exactly right. So we realised, well, this isn't going to be great for search engines and such like. But then when we added up and saw the 1,000 years hike, and I did a little bit of research, and nobody had been using this phrase, so we thought, right, that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah.
And so now if you put the 1,000 years hike into Google, DuckDuckGo, Yahoo, Bing, any of those search engines, we actually pop up there. So we've now got our little niche, as it were. Yeah. And
Twitter as well. On Twitter as well.
On Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
We didn't go on the other big one, which seems to be in a bit of decline at the moment. But the guys are... Not a lot of them are on social media and such. So this is really to get out to other supporters and other people.
Yeah, that's amazing. I googled 1,000 years hike or searched for it on Just Giving, which is the page, isn't it?
Yeah,
you were first on the list, so it was working obviously.
Yeah,
and that's all you've got to do. Just do that. Go on the Just Giving page, 1,000 years hike, and it comes up and donate. Simple, isn't it?
Yep, it is. Thank you.
All right, Neil, lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much. We're going to try and catch up somehow with everybody nearer the time. And I have threatened to try and ring you while you're walking, but...
Well, we've been testing out some new bits of tech on our recent hikes. And what I hope to do is to have a live track of where we are on the website while we're actually doing the hike. And if we can get it to work, you'll also be able to send us text messages and we can respond. It all depends on the ability to connect to the internet, which in the wilds of the West Highland Way,
isn't
always possible. But whenever we can, you'll be able to see us. And you'll be able to, basically talk to us.
Brilliant. Thanks for talking to us, Neil. It's been great.
Thank you very much.
I will speak to you very soon.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.